You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show.
The world is a vampire.
Welcome, everybody. How are you tonight? Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Whale Wars, Season 5, Episode 3. Dead in the water, Ben.
Dead in the water.
Hello, everybody. I, of course, am your host, Captain Phil Svitek.
And I am First Mate Ben Bottomley.
Yes, you are. Let's let this song play out a little bit, shall we?
Okay.
That's a good song. So, quite the interesting episode tonight. Would you not agree, Ben?
I would agree.
Ooh, that ending's spooky. So, Dead in Water, obviously, what were your feelings coming into tonight's episode? Obviously, we left off on such a low note last time that we knew, at least for me, you know, the whole point was, are they going to be alive?
Yeah, I mean, I figured they would be alive just because of the nature of the show and the fact that they had recovered the footage and all that, but it was still tense. I mean, I was kind of able to predict that this is what the episode was going to be about.
Yeah.
Just entirely dedicated to that, so.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more in terms of story structure, because this certainly isn't the first time that they've sort of done an episode like this in terms of spending so much time on one particular subject, but again, we kind of leave off where we pick up where we left off, rather, and, you know, it's kind of assessing the damage and what's happening and then kind of coming up with the game plan. And I didn't actually, what was interesting to me, I didn't realize that Steve Irwin was so far away. I mean, you know, I think that they were almost 300 miles. I think technically it was 273, but close to 300. And then, I mean, what did you think of... Did you think that anything else could have been done differently just right off the bat in terms of a game plan? I mean, obviously it worked, I guess.
Well, I mean, I am no captain. I'm not a master of sea tactics, but I don't know. I thought that I would have some sort of backup plan in case things went down like that. I mean, I guess they had lifeboats, but it seemed like everyone was really far away, and obviously the Steve Irwin had a tail and the Bob Barker had a giant storm in between them.
Yeah.
So it looked like they were going to go down, and that could have ended in death.
Well, what was interesting to me, you know, if we're also talking about game plans, the crew was very calm on the Bardo, and that's a testament to Jono, the captain, and also, ironically, you know, the film crew was pretty calm. You know, I mean, for being in that situation, to be that calm, that's good leadership.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, most of them were pretty calm. Some of them had a little breakdowns, but
it was,
that's expected.
You know, just in terms of, it was interesting to see Ryan Jones and his girlfriend, Jo. They kind of touched upon that love storyline, but it didn't really go further than that. Which would have been interesting to see, or maybe not. I don't know. What are your thoughts on... Would you have liked to see that more?
I didn't really remember that they even touched on it, so not really. Personally, I didn't really care, to be honest, but I'm sure someone would have.
Yeah. It was quite the touching story. So obviously, kind of, and you know, it was interesting. I, you know, and Ben mentioned it. He doesn't have a background in navigation or captaining ships or sailing.
Yeah.
Or boating or anything, whatever technical term you would want to use. I certainly don't either. And it was interesting to learn that the Bob Barker is 90 miles away and it would take 9 hours to get there in good weather.
Yeah, they always, I mean, I'm going to sound like an idiot because I don't know this, but they always measure speed in terms of knots.
Yes.
And I just don't have, like, any frame of reference as to how fast or how slow 5 knots is.
Yeah, and I always picture knots to be way faster.
Yeah.
Than miles, but I'm going to check it out, actually. I guess they converted that. I'm going to send the hate mail our way.
Yep.
But, you know, I always thought, you know, you say knots, so that way, you know, you're kind of cruising along, you know, things are fast, but I guess it's just a lie in terms of... You know that. I'm going to do a Bing search for miles to knots right now.
Excellent.
1 mile equals 0.86 knots.
0.86 knots.
Yes.
Okay. So just under 1 mile per hour.
Technically.
Okay. So 5 knots, that is ridiculously slow.
Yeah.
I can walk that fast.
Can you swim that fast? Some people can, actually. I don't know about in those waters, obviously not, but but yeah, it was, you know, I learned something in that regard, and obviously the storm was horrendous.
Oh yeah, it looked like they were going to go down sometimes. They just tilted so much. It's like, geez, a lot of your boat is in the water right now. But then again, I know nothing about ships, so.
Well, you know, speaking about the not the Bob Barker, the Steve Irwin being so far away, you know, does it make you wonder, had the Steve Irwin initially gone to the Bardot, A, there would be no pontoon that would have been hit, B, they, if that was the case, they could have saved him a lot easier, because they were initially closer.
There would have been no pontoon hit?
Well, the whole point was that, you know, the Bardot and the... Bob Barker were meeting up, and they had to go towards that storm in order to refuel.
Right.
And so, had you not had that scenario, this would have been...
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's how they got hit. Okay. Right. Yeah, they probably, if they had just... Well, if they were able to go to the Steve Irwin, they probably would not have had to deal with any of this. But then again,
makes
it
you
goes
wonder.
Back to your game plan.
Yeah.
And... I think they didn't have enough fuel to get to the Irwin, or maybe
they
it was
did.
Just because of the tail.
It was only because of the tail. Because the Bob Barker was at around, you know, they were 900 miles away.
Yeah.
So
we can blame it entirely on Gary.
We yes. Gary. Poor Gary. Luckily, he had nothing to do with today's episode. And,
yeah.
You know. So, yes, the Bob Barker is racing off to save them, and let's talk about the nighttime of the ship. You know, I also give them a lot of credit. You know, how they secured the pontoon. I mean, it's a rinky dink operation, but at the end they held up.
Right.
And
yeah, they definitely did what they could, and it worked for the most part.
Isn't it amazing how in the most dire situation? I mean, you know, the Army or Marines. You know, they use duct tape to build stuff.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that just awesome how you can kind of MacGyver a lot of this stuff together and it ends up holding out?
Like, Apollo 13 is a prime example.
Well, for those...
No, nothing. Go ahead.
No. Give the frame of reference.
Oh, okay. In Apollo 13, they have to, if you're unfamiliar with the story, it was a space mission that went completely wrong. And, the guys on the ground had to tell the crew what to do in order to make it home.
Yeah.
And at one point, they quite literally had to fit, like, a square peg into a circular hole. So they just said, all right, here's what they have up there. Get going. You've got an hour. And they come back with this crazy contraption, like, here we go. We did it. And they walk them step by step through it, and eventually they make it home.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
And what's cool, too, is that was an event years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking 2005 here.
60s.
So, yes. So, very much in the same. But at the same time, you know, this was, you know, in your example, they had someone kind of telling them what to do. In their case, at least we didn't see it that way. They kind of came up with it on their own to lasso that. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. They did say at night that we can't watch it because it's so dark. They're filming them with a night vision camera.
I think, you know, again, we'll kind of talk about story structure and debunk the whole, you know, I mean, there's a lot of footage of the exterior of the Bardot that was shot when it actually wasn't damaged.
Yeah.
And they just kind of intercut it to create the story because there's no way, you know, I mean, if you had a boat next to them.
Yeah.
Just like, shoot footage of it. You know, that'd be a little nuts.
Fine. Yeah.
But... I don't know. I think it did get dark. I mean, it is hard to see. You know, you're talking about the wing of it. I mean, in the boat you can see perhaps, but to see outside of a kind of, you know, that glass structure out of that window to that point, you know, it's always bad angles.
Yeah, I thought they had a shot of it through the night vision camera, and it looked to me like you were able to tell if the pontoon was on or not. But
oh, you're talking about an actual shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what they did there was that was one of the ones that they had from the daytime, and they put a night vision filter on it to fool you.
I was fooled.
Again, so a lot of story pieces that they, you know, kind of to make the story happen, that they mixed and matched a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. So, since, you know, we talked about the 5 knots, and that was because at first weren't they were going like 20 knots.
Yeah, then they had to drop to 12 and then to 5 because the storm was so rough.
Yeah. And I mean, it's let's talk about Alex just for a moment, the captain of the Bob Barker. I really like him, you know.
Yeah.
I like Jono as a captain too. And let me know your thoughts on kind of all three of these, but I feel like Alex is the most kind of grounded, and he seems like the most approachable. He seems like he's well in tune with his crew. You know, we see him doing a lot of team meetings, quote-unquote, and he seems to be very sensible and approachable.
He seems like the best captain to me. I mean, like you said, he's very involved with everything, and he just seems like the most approachable and friendly. Like, he seems like he's one of the crew, you know, whereas Paul, to me, seems like, whatever, just leave me alone. I'm going to go back to taking a nap in my cabin.
Oh, man. We rag on Paul Watson so much.
Yes, we do.
But, you know, in terms of captaining, I would want to see... these were prime examples where I wanted to see, just in story sense, Paul kind of take initiative. Or maybe he did, we just didn't see it.
Yeah.
But story-wise, I want to know what's going through Paul's head and kind of him take the bull by the horns of, like, okay... You know, here's the game plan. Here's what we're going to do. As opposed to people coming to him. I wanted him to approach the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of being asked.
Him to take charge like a captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him to, you know, I would have stolen that phone away from Sid and been like, okay, hey guys, I know this is bad. Hang on. You know, trust me. And lie to them. Like, you're not going to sink. Don't worry. We're on our way. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Create a confidence boost in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think Alex is sort of like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's sensible in that sense.
And he holds it together pretty well all the time.
Yeah.
He's very composed.
He is.
Mm-hmm. The kind of guy you would want in a situation like that.
And for me, I think Paul is a good captain. I just want to know the reasoning behind things. Again, Alex is much more external about expressing what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, just in the story sense, we get interjections from Paul, and they seem to be kind of the obvious thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, when a boat is sinking, it's probably going to, like, you know, be the equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't, I mean, I don't know, he just seemed like he wasn't that helpful, to be honest. What? Okay, thanks, Paul. We're just going to call Alex now.
Yes. But, and then, you know, they built it up to where they went through the nighttime and they were worried about, okay, Are these guys still alive?
Yeah. And they definitely did a good job of making us wonder.
Yeah. And again, I will give these guys a lot of credit, but at the same time, for the sake of conversation, you're there. You know, you're in a life and death situation. Don't go to sleep. Like, you will get enough. People I know, they're able to stay up for long, you know, even days sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Off of adrenaline. You can stay up one night when it's a life and your life is at stake.
Yeah.
Don't go to sleep.
I would not be able to go to sleep anyway.
Yeah.
Knowing, like, oh, well, this ship might sink overnight. I'll just take a nap. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, it goes back to... I'm going to counter myself here and contradict in many ways. But, you know, it comes from Jono being a good leader and having that sort of ease with his crew so that they can take a nap. But at the same time, don't let them.
Yeah.
They'll be all right if they stay up.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's good to have them well-rested in case they need to evacuate or do something.
That's true.
And you don't need all of them to be watching the ship. So I think what they did makes sense.
It does make sense, yes. It does. I'm just saying also, like, a day is not the worst.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you do need energy. Especially, you know, I mean, God, you know, the fear of hypothermia, which we'll kind of talk about past episodes that have been like this.
Yeah.
You know, hypothermia is always a fear, and for that, you know, you don't want to fall asleep for that. So if you're tired, you're more likely to obviously fall asleep. Therefore, enter hypothermia.
Yeah.
So you're right.
And that sucks, as we've learned from past episodes.
I want to talk about the quote. Jillian didn't sign up for this. She screamed. You did, though.
Yeah, you did. I mean, this ship is obviously not meant for Antarctic waters, and you signed up to be on it. I'm sure you probably knew the risks, because I'm sure they told you the risks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, you did sign up for it. Sorry.
Yeah, I imagine the waivers. I would love to see it kind of like skydiving. Literally, I believe it's just one line. It's like, you know, this may kill you.
Yeah.
Sign like here.
If you die, that sucks. It could happen.
Yeah.
So just sign it. Yeah. And I assume their waivers are probably pretty similar.
Yeah. And so obviously you never hope that's what you're going to get up into, but you know.
Japanese are up to.
Yeah, and I bring it up because it is that serious, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So, let's talk about the last aspect of it, you know? So, the Bob Barker comes in, they save the day, quote-unquote, and then they have to leave so that the Steve Irwin can get there.
Right.
And the Bob Barker won't get tailed. What did you think of this plan?
I didn't really catch what the plan was the first time, to be honest, so I was kind of wondering why the Barker was leaving them again, but then it was explained to me, and I don't know, I think it made sense, because I don't know if one of their objectives was to keep the Shonen Maru away from everything else when they had to escort the Bridget Bardot back anyway. But, I mean, they did... I guess they're going to successfully keep one of their ships away.
Well, I mean, the point is this. If...
Or is it a legal thing?
No, it's not a legal thing. I mean, it's this. If the Bob Barker were there...
Right.
Then, okay. Again, you kind of know what's going on. So, no matter what now, let's say the Bob Barker is the one that's going to go ahead, go back, and the Steve Irwin's going to take the Bardot.
Right, okay.
Then the Japanese ship just has an option. All right, well, I'm going to follow the Bob Barker because that's not the one with the sinking ship.
Right, I just thought of that now. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
You know, whereas now they're forced to kind of follow the Steve Irwin, you know, just in that sense, because again, from the Japanese perspective, okay, you still got tail. Not only that, you know, they're not going to do anything because they're helping out a ship that's basically ready to sink at any moment.
Right. So yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Just have one good ship down there that can still fight on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
The crew members kind of decide, okay, you know, do I go back to port or am I going to continue the mission?
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see a lot of people kind of say, you know, we'll continue the mission.
Yeah. They definitely did.
But I thought, you know, I mean, it's always tough to kind of talk about episodes like this because there's not a lot that... It's more emotional.
Happens. Yeah.
It's
more
much
to talk about. But on that emotion note, do you remember the meeting Sid had with everyone on the Steve Irwin explaining what was going on?
Yes.
What a downer. Yeah, their pontoon is about to break off. If that happens, they could sink. We don't know if they're going to live. Man, it must suck to be them right now. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough how do you bring it up. And Peter... Peter over on the Bob Barker, he said he hand-selected that group, and so
right,
he feels mainly responsible.
And it was his close friends on there.
Well, you know, it's interesting how close all of these kind of people are. I mean, you spend so much time with them.
Yeah.
That, you know, you obviously want the best for them. And, you know, to see a ship go down any time, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the structure of this episode. You brought up a good point. For me, it reminded me of the time that the two small boats were stranded.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up a good one, too, in the past when the search for the Norwegians. So let's start with that. Ben, tell us about that episode. And both these were season 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, but tell us about the Norwegians.
The Norwegian episode, this one just completely reminded me of that because they spent the entire episode looking for these Norwegian guys that sent out a distress call. And, I mean, they just structured it really similarly. They would devise strategies to try to cover as much ground as possible. They would constantly be trying to radio them. It ended kind of on a sad note. Turns out the Norwegians, I think all of them died.
Yeah,
they
no
did
one
eventually
lived.
Find a life raft, but it was empty. It was, it reminded me of that because it wasn't focused on the Japanese at all, or on the actual whaling, but it was all about a search and rescue thing, which is kind of like what this was, except obviously less searching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I thought of when I was watching this one.
And, you know, in terms of that episode, too, they, like you said, they spent the whole time on it, and it just got quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
You know, towards the
reality
end.
Reality was starting to dawn on them. Like, yeah. These guys probably didn't make it.
What was, again, it's tough to half talk about these, you know, because you want to praise the show for what it does, but then obviously it's real life, so it's also sad at the same time and tragic. In terms of that, you know, you had Chris Altman on the airplane, and I just remember in terms of that episode, you just hear the helicopter wings spinning,
mm-hmm.
and that's all you hear, and it feels like I think Jono said it, you know, seconds turn into minutes turn into hours, hours
yeah.
turn into days, and I think it was like a 5-second shot of the helicopter just flying and just hearing that, but it felt so long because we were like waiting, you know, to try to find these guys on that raft.
Right.
And then we get the memo like, hey, there's no one in there.
Mm-hmm. And that episode, I was expecting them to find them. I just expected them to succeed in finding these guys.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, when it's weird. I just had an expectation that everything that happened on the show was going to end happily and that everything was going to be fine. But then, like, it was very real, and I realized these guys, they didn't make it. Jeez.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they could have done.
To be fair, they were there to party.
Well, yeah.
You remember that.
Well, okay. But they still died.
Well,
all of them
just
did.
If you're there to save whales, that's one thing. If you're there to party, not a smart thing.
Well, I mean, they were Norwegians, so you can't blame them.
Yeah.
It's in their blood.
It is in their blood. So is whaling, actually.
Yeah, but That
that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And now you remember the one I had brought up, which was when the small boats kind of split off, and you know then eventually, because they were at that point, one of the boats had a tail, and they were trying to lose the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And so what had to have happened was the two small boats had to annoy and do the buoy, right?
Right.
And to one of the Japanese ships, so that way the ship could get away. But that also meant that the ship was getting away from the two small boats, and then they were supposed to rendezvous at the point of an iceberg. Icebergs move. And for those of you who remember listening to us, I remember John just being hugely mad about that. He's like, you're going to meet an iceberg? It's going to move.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. And so it was basically like a 7-hour search and rescue for two small boats.
Yeah.
And that was equally sad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they found all of them, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
And that was our big thing, you know, the way they structured. Obviously, they had, you know, like in today's episode, they had footage to mix and match. So, and, you know, story-wise, they're very smart to say everything's in the present.
Yeah.
You know, so that way they could piece it into anything. But obviously they had footage of the guys after, so that way, you know, they weren't too worried, you know.
Right.
It foreshadowed that they would be alive.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's a good thing to foreshadow, but it takes a little bit of suspense away.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons why I kind of like these episodes is because we get a lot more into the minds of these people. And I feel like the more... Ben, you're in high school, so what do they teach you about story perspectives, right? There's the first person, but even within those, there's levels.
Yes.
You know, of, like, how close you are to the subject. So even though, especially in novels, you can be in first person. And so even though you're in first person, that doesn't necessarily mean you gain too much insight into who the person is and how they think. You know, they could just be giving you beat by beat the actions versus their thoughts. And for me, I don't know, you can tell me otherwise how you feel, but I feel like when they go instead of that high up perspective to come down a little bit, you know, and that's why I would like to see Paul Watson's ideology and his kind of thinking behind things.
Mm-hmm.
But you might disagree.
No, I agree. That, I mean, that makes sense to me. I don't really have much to say on the matter.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you know, the show was obviously narrated from third perspective.
Yeah.
And it's giving us the beat by beat. You know, I, by the way, I love that guy's voice. But again, it's kind of, he keeps us in the story, and it's the obvious. Okay, the Bardo is about to go down.
Yeah.
And there's the pontoon and things like that. So, I don't know. For me, if I do have... the show for me is great, but if there is a criticism, it's I would like to see it come down just a little bit to more of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Because then there's stakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Things matter more.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Anything that you'd like to kind of talk about before we head into a commercial break?
Well, there was... You left the room at this time, but they were interviewing one of the women, and her title was cook.
She was a cook.
Yep.
I know, I did see that.
Back to your... Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring that up, but yes.
You're welcome, Michelle Macedo.
Yes, for those of you who don't understand that reference, listen to our Season 4 podcasts. And that was Joe. That was the girlfriend of Ryan Jones.
Okay.
So, you know, again, they kind of spent time. I wonder how much they interview kind of these ancillary characters.
Probably a lot, just to make them feel more important, and then none of it gets onto the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have... that was a great one to have for this episode.
Yeah.
And again, but I wish they had kind of built that up a little bit more. Anything else?
Nope.
By the way, we both got the question wrong on Crew Chronicles.
Yeah, we did.
So we will admit to that. Jono was the obvious answer, so we both kind of picked the other two, Beck and Simon, respectively, so that way... Yeah, I don't know. We just got it wrong.
Yeah.
What was tough, though, is, they put it in, like, the worst moment. Like, it was supposed to, you know, it was at one of the saddest, if not the saddest part of the episode, and then you just cut to Crew Chronicles.
Yeah.
This very upbeat music of, like you could have put it earlier in the episode.
I'm not going to lie, I get all of those wrong. I am not very familiar with the people of.
I don't think you're supposed to. That's not the point. You're supposed to find out. You know, it's. I think most trivia, especially like that, is kind of geared towards. Okay, we know you don't know this, but we're gonna kind of show you. You know, we're gonna teach you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you're supposed to know.
Like I learned last week, I don't remember his name, but some guy plays the didgeridoo, and it's not Potsy.
Nah, Potsy, love Potsy. But yes, I mean, I think it's one of those things that they're trying to insert knowledge into you rather than, hey, what's the answer? Regurgitate back to me because you already know. Anyway, on that note, let's hit a commercial break and we'll be back with our predictions for the next episode, which seems a lot more actionist. Oh, wait. Yeah, we'll do that after. We'll do that after, right after this.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Hoo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. So, one of the things that we forgot in our discussion, quite important, right, Ben? We got to pay some bills around here.
Yes, we do.
So, here's one of the easiest ways we can pay the bills is you guys write and comment on iTunes. We give you guys this content every week. Ben and I have a fun time doing it, and we want to know how much fun you're having. So, let us know on iTunes. Just go comment and rate us, and it takes you no more than a minute, I promise.
Yep.
And unlike today's episode, minutes will not feel like hours.
Unless you have dial-up.
Yes, so hopefully you don't.
Yep.
And also tell a friend, you know, I personally, for this show, I've gotten so many people hooked. And, you know, so for you guys, get people that you know that might be fans of Whale Wars, get them hooked on us.
Yes.
You obviously listen to us for a reason. And so, you know, why not spread the wealth?
Spread the word.
Yes.
You've been a very good boy.
Okay.
That's a fun soundbite.
Yeah.
Also, let's. Another cool way is we're part of an Amazon affiliate program. And what that means is whenever you shop online on Amazon, instead of going to Amazon directly, go to AfterBuzzTV.com first. And there you'll find an Amazon banner. Click that banner and then shop away. Costs no extra to you, but we get a percentage of whatever it is you buy. It could be anything. Now, there's an interesting part I learned, Ben, today.
What is that?
It's right now it's kind of limiting because only our U.S. fans can do that. Because, I forgot that there's, you know, different international endings. You know, so .com is kind of U.S.
Yeah.
.ca is Canada.
.co.uk, yeah.
Yeah, all those. And so if you're listening to... Well, it's the tricky part. You know, if you're listening to us anywhere else, you know, we do apologize. I'm actually coming up with a way that we can do it so all countries are involved. And thank you guys for those of you who write in from various countries, whether New Zealand, Australia. We have some fans in Germany, you know, for letting us know that you want to support us but can't. We will make it so that you can in the future. So thank you guys for hanging in. But for those of you who can't purchase anything on Amazon, go to iTunes, rate and comment, and that'll make up for it for now.
Or you could just send us money. just directly.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. There's probably legal ramifications to that. But for now, let's head into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do we got, Ben?
Well, I don't think much is going to happen next week.
Why?
To be honest with you.
They had the spray cannons going and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to be next week.
Well, they said next episode.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they say that and then they lie.
And, well, it ends up being like 5 seconds. That's what usually ends up happening.
Yeah.
For me, I think obviously the Steve Irwin's going to go with the Bardo. And in the Bardo, I guess we see little glimpses of it kind of being in danger.
Which is why I think not much is going to happen next week. Because they're obviously going to be heading back to land.
Yeah.
While the Bob Barker is on its own down there. And generally, I don't know, generally when one ship is looking in that vast of an area, they don't really... Not much happens.
You're right. I think, if nothing else, I think it'll be an uplifting episode.
Probably.
For the She Separate crew, because we've had, you know, this is the third episode, and it's the second one in a row that's kind of been sad.
Yeah. Oh, we're only on episode 3, like you just said.
Yes, we're only on episode 3, and so, you know, you kind of have to have an uplifting one.
Yeah.
Next week. But, you know, this would be such an awesome Chris Nolan movie.
Would it?
You don't think so?
No, I don't necessarily disagree. I just want to know why.
Why? Because you could imagine, like, right? Like, it's exactly like in The Dark Knight when you have, when they're about to get the Joker, and it's like, all right, SWAT team, go, go, go. And it just, like, has that type of feel of, like, you're on the ship and, like, all right, let's go get the Japanese, go, 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 you know? And you just have that artifice of Christopher Nolan telling you the story, which would be pretty cool.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah. He's a good director. Yep.
So.
I enjoy his movies.
I think it'd be awesome. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun. Let us know what you think, and we'll be back next week to talk some more Whale Wars.
And.
What's that?
I'm going to cross-promote really quick. I know Whale Wars fans are some of the smartest people alive. So
yes, they are.
I'm sure you guys also like Breaking Bad, and that starts Sunday, July 15th.
Sunday, July 15th. So be on the lookout for that, and we may have some cool things coming up for that. And I'm actually working to get the showrunner of Whale Wars to come in.
Excellent.
It's tough because they're so involved with so many other reality shows that their schedules are insane.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, she wants to come in. It's a she.
Oh.
So, but regardless, we'll be back next week with episode 4.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.